A Glimpse at the Past, a pictorial history of the Department of Epidemiology, School of Public Health, University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, created by Sue Wolfe, for a celebration honoring the distinguished careers of Professors Burton H. Kaplan, Carl M. Shai, and H. A. Al Tiroler, September 18, 1996. Narrated by Dr. Marilyn Vine. When the bell tower rang on the 28th day of March, 1936, 51 students were registered for the new Division of Public Health in the medical school at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Sanitary engineers and health officers were the members of the first student body of what is today the School of Public Health. The new division was housed in Caldwell Hall on Cameron Avenue, which was the location of the medical school. Wilson Library was the main library on campus. Dr. Milton Rosenau came to Chapel Hill to head up the new Division of Public Health. Course offerings included Public Health Administration, Vital Statistics, and Principles of Sanitation. But as one student proclaimed, the big course was Epidemiology with Dr. Rosenau. The big book he had written was thicker than the Sears and Roebuck catalog. It was the whole story on everything to do with communicable diseases. The academic year 1939-1940 brought two significant changes. In September, the Division of Public Health moved to the new medical school building, McNider Hall, alleviating space problems, at least for the time being. However, Dr. Rosenau and Dr. McNider, then dean of the medical school, had disagreements over the autonomy of the division. Dr. Rosenau petitioned Dr. Frank Porter Graham, then president of the University of North Carolina, to create a separate school. In the spring of 1940, the University Board of Trustees granted his petition, and the School of Public Health was officially born. The School of Public Health grew throughout the next decade. Epidemiology continued to be taught by Dr. Rosenau, and then by Dr. Edward McGavran, who succeeded him as dean and head of epidemiology in 1946. While other departments within the school were added and growing, epidemiology was still a one-man show. Dr. McGavran, wearing two hats, one as dean and the other as head of epidemiology, shared an office with his secretary and administrative assistant. He taught 16 hours of epidemiology in the winter quarter in addition to his administrative duties. Recognizing the need for additional faculty, Dr. McGavran wrote in the 1953-1954 annual report that the department which should be the strongest is actually the weakest. The situation was remedied in 1954 when Dr. McGavran hired Dr. John Castle, a native of South Africa, to start a chronic disease section. In 1958, Dr. Sidney Kark, also from South Africa, was persuaded to serve a year's term as the first chair of the Department of Epidemiology. The entire School of Public Health faculty was not very large during the 1950s, but it grew as funds became available for positions and new projects. Dr. Castle, top center, assumed the position of chair of the department in 1959. He hired faculty from a broad range of disciplines, reflecting his philosophy of the importance of the social and psychological, as well as the biological determinants of health and disease. Among the early faculty members hired were, starting clockwise at the lower left, Dr. Cecil Sloan, a physician, Dr. John Fulton, a dentist, Dr. Ralph Patrick, an anthropologist, Dr. David Jenkins, a psychologist, Dr. Burton Kaplan, a sociologist, looking very pensive, and the one in the center, a young, beardless Dr. Al Tiroler. More staff meant a need for more space. But the early 1960s, More staff meant a need for more space. By the early 1960s, the school had overflowed its borders in McNider Hall and expanded into offices in Miller Hall on Pittsboro Street. The number of epidemiology majors during the 1960-61 school year was not overwhelming. In fact, the students appeared to be outnumbered by the faculty. The School of Public Health itself had grown considerably. The School of Public Health itself had grown considerably by the end of the 1950s. Like Dr. Rosenau before him, Dr. Castle was well known for his excellence as a teacher. His lectures, particularly his famous Snow on Cholera lecture, was very popular with the students. In the early 1960s, two major changes occurred in the School of Public Health. First, Dr. Fred Mays succeeded Dr. McGavran as the third dean of the School of Public Health. And second, Rosenau Hall was dedicated in 1963. The School of Public Health had finally found its own home on the UNC campus. Now, as we all know, research is the mainstay of epidemiology. And in the early 1960s, Dr. Castle and Dr. Bernard Greenberg of the Department of Biostatistics did not miss a golden opportunity to study heart disease in a community setting. Dr. Curtis Hames, a family physician from Claxton, Georgia, observed that among his patients in rural county Evans County, Dr. Curtis Hames, a famous... Dr. Curtis Hames, a family physician from Claxton, Georgia, observed that among his patients in rural Evans County, black patients appeared to have lower rates of coronary heart disease than whites. The department formed a partnership with Dr. Hames, and the Evans County Heart Study took off from there. It was the basis for continuing studies of coronary heart disease by this department. In the academic year 1964-65, the number of students majoring in epidemiology tripled from the beginning of the decade. You might recognize adjunct faculty member Dr. Joan Cornoni-Huntley. In the academic year 1964-65, the number of students majoring in epidemiology tripled from the beginning of the decade. You might recognize adjunct faculty member Dr. Joan Cornoni-Huntley among the returning students. This photo, taken in the... This photo, taken in the spring of 1965 by the side door of Rosenau Hall, includes two familiar faces, Al Tiroler in the middle of the back row, and Dr. Ralph Patrick to his left. Dr. Patrick joined the faculty in 1958. An anthropologist by training, Dr. Patrick used his background to study the epidemiology of polio vaccine acceptance in a Florida county. Along with Dr. Castle and staff member Joanna Smith, Dr. Patrick also conducted a study of the effects of rapid cultural change on health among inhabitants of Ponape Island in the Pacific. Joanna is shown here with doctoral student Jane Gordon. A big project launched in the early 1970s was an occupational health study of workers in the rubber industry. The Occupational Health Studies Group was formed from faculty in epidemiology, biostatistics, and environmental sciences. Their offices were located in Suite 32 of the Nations Bank building. Here, Drs. Tony McMichael and Larry Cooper discussed the analysis of one of the rubber worker studies. When the rubber industry studies were completed, the Occupational Health Studies Group undertook a similar study of workers in the phosphate industry. Dr. Jaragana Angelkovic was also a key investigator in the Occupational Health Studies Group. And for those of you who thought Dr. Tiroler limited his work to cardiovascular disease, think again. Here he is presenting data from the rubber industry studies at a meeting in Milan, Italy, in May of 1979. Bert Kaplan joined the faculty in 1960. His passion has always been psychosocial epidemiology, and he has devoted himself to such studies as the relationship between religion and coronary heart disease. Even today, the Carolina seminar that Bert chairs on forgiveness is indicative of his long-standing interest in this field. In this slide, Bert is shown with Kathy Dunn, a doctoral student in epidemiology. Work on the Evans County study continued well into the 1970s. Here, Dr. Tyroler is seen with Dr. Hames at one of the many Evans County Heart Days, days set aside for meetings, discussions, and presentations of Evans County data. Following in the wake of the Evans County Heart Study was the Lipids Research Clinics Program, LRC for short, another large study of cardiovascular disease. The study was conducted at 14 sites in the U.S. and abroad. Here, Dr. Tyroler and Dr. Jim Grizzle of the Department of Biostatistics are shown discussing the project. Here, Gerardo Heiss and Dale Williams of Biostatistics meet with other members of the research team. Gerardo and Al meet with Ed Davis, another LRC member from Biostatistics. Dr. Tyroler is presenting the findings of the lipids research study in Russia, and again at a national news conference in Chapel Hill during the early 1980s. Phyllis Johnson, longtime administrative assistant to the CVD group, is shown with staff member Mary Nettles. And if you want to get an idea of how long ago this photo was taken, Phyllis was expecting her son Matthew, who turned 17 in 1996. During the 1970s, the department pioneered in a new wave of health services research. Dr. Barbara Hulka was lead investigator of a study of the quality of care delivered by family physicians. Ed Wagner, a former faculty member and a clinical Ed Wagner, a former faculty member and a current clinical professor of epidemiology, and Dr. Michelle Ibrahim spearheaded a similar study of family nurse practitioners. Sue Wolf joined the staff in 1972 as a research associate to serve as coordinator of the Family Nurse Practitioner Project. Here, Dr. Ibrahim, who had joined the Faculty of Epidemiology in 1971, is shown with Health Services Research staff members Nancy Clapp and Janet Meininger. Only 10 years after the doors of Rosenau Hall opened, we had outgrown our space. Office desks were cluttered with papers, and bookcases were crowded with journal articles, computer printouts, and course materials. To ease the overcrowding, the department moved research staff into the second floor of the State Employees Credit Union building on Pittsboro Street. These digs were so luxurious, in other words, they had carpeting and didn't have cinderblock walls, that the offices were referred to as the Palace. Two major changes in command occurred during the 1970s. In 1972, Dr. Bernard Greenberg stepped aside as chair of biostatistics to become the fourth dean of the School of Public Health. And in 1976, Dr. Michelle Ibrahim was appointed chair of epidemiology when Dr. Castle stepped aside due to illness. The following slides depict life in the department during the late 1970s. First, we see Vi Krall, the director of the fiscal office, First, we see Vi Krall, the director of the fiscal office, talking to Dr. Carolyn Becker, a former faculty member, and staff member, Sylvia Hubbard. First, we see Vi Krall, the director of the fiscal office, talking to Dr. Caroline Becker, a former faculty member, and staff member, Sylvia Hubbard. Dave Kleinbaum, a statistician, with a joint appointment in bios and epidemiology, is seen here teaching a class on linear regression. Adjunct faculty member Tim Wilkoski, during his student days. Doctors Caroline Becker and Dragana Angelkovich at the School of Public Health Convocation in 1979. And here, doctoral students Jerome Wilson and Diane Cookfair at the Orientation Week reception in epidemiology with Dr. Carl Shai looking on. I gotta read that again. Doctoral students Jerome Wilson and Diane Cookfair at the Orientation Week reception in the Epidemiology Conference Room with Dr. Carl Shai looking on. Dr. Carl Shai came to UNC from the EPA in 1974 to become the director of the Institute of Environmental Studies and also professor of epidemiology. He worked in the Brown House behind the School of Public Health. The house has since been torn down to make room for the new School of Social Work. Betsy Seagroves joined Dr. Shai's staff as secretary, also in 1974. Harvey Checkaway and Bud Love are seen here with Carl Shai reviewing findings of one of their studies of occupational and environmental epidemiology. Lastly, we... Harvey Checkaway and Bud Love are seen here with Carl Shai reviewing findings of one of their studies of occupational and environmental epidemiology. Lastly, we see Vic Schoenbach, who originally came to the department as a student, posed with Bert Kaplan. After being evicted from the credit union building in the late 1970s and still in need of space, the research staff and several faculty members moved to a trailer complex near the UNC power plant on Cameron Avenue. The trailers were not as luxurious as the palace, but because of the camaraderie of faculty and staff, it was a very fine working environment. Perhaps you recognize Betsy Seagroves and Terry Hudgens in this picture. The staff quickly adopted a cat who was inhabiting the trailers The staff quickly adopted a cat who was inhabiting the trailers when they arrived. After an intense review of the literature on feline nomenclature, she was named Ginger. Cecil Sloan came to UNC from South Africa in the late 1950s. His research interests were concerned with hypertension and diabetes, particularly medication-taking behaviors. At this time, he was working on a study of hypertension control in Edgecombe County, North Carolina, with research staff housed in the trailers. Jim Fletcher, the department's second computer guru, established a very useful computer room at the trailers, allowing us to connect the campus mainframe through the latest Telray terminals. At lunchtime, staff members practiced for a part in a chorus line. On the left are Joanna Smith and Betsy Seagroves. Joe Heiss is second from the right. In this photograph, Dr. Becker, Vita Manley, and other research staff members were meeting to discuss their study of the health effects of oral contraceptive use, or the pill study. We cannot let this era go by without mentioning the Oak Ridge Project, a series of occupational studies of the health effects of exposure to ionizing radiation. This picture was taken while the investigators and staff were on retreat in the North Carolina mountains. Here, Dr. Shai is speaking with a member of the advisory group for the Oak Ridge Project. In the early 1980s, there was another changing of the guard in the school and the department. Dr. Greenberg stepped down as dean, and Michelle Ibrahim was appointed to succeed him. Dr. Barbara Hulka became the new chair of the Department of Epidemiology. Life in the department during this time was busy as we grew in size and shape over the next 11 years. Biomarkers was the word of the day. This period was marked by an expansion of the infectious disease program and a greater emphasis on the integration of laboratory sciences into epidemiologic research. In this slide, we recognize the ponytailed Steve Wing during his student days, participating in a seminar or an ESO meeting. Years later, Steve is seen discussing a controversial topic at a faculty meeting with Meg McCann, Kristen Weigel, and Ginny Reed looking on. Gerardo Heiss and Alice White wait for a faculty meeting to begin. Christine Branch, a doctoral student interested in occupational health, talks with Dr. Sherman James, a former faculty member, about epidemiology. And in spite of an early split with the medical school, the School of Public Health has maintained strong ties with its neighbors across the street. Here, cardiologists Ross Simpson and David Sheps, both with research interests in epidemiology, race back across the street after a meeting in Rosenau Hall. Throughout the years, the faculty, staff, and students have shared in the teaching, research, and service work of the department. We've also shared the sorrow of the passing of Drs. Castle, Sloan, and Patrick. Yet through it all, there have been many fun times. Here are four students dressed up for an annual Halloween party. And scenes from a few of the many student winter holiday skits. Then-student Marilyn Vine and Frank Vinicor playing the roles of Sir Richard Dahl and his faithful companion Pito. Steve Krichewski as the Marlboro Man and Amanda Adler as Virginia Slim. And among the seven dwarfs are Holly Hill and Donna Arnett. Receptions were held for almost any occasion, like this one in the late 80s, where Sherman James is talking to John Hatch of the Department of Health Behavior and Health Education. And Bert is talking to Marla Salmon, a former member... And Bert is talking to Marla Salmon, a former chair of public health nursing. Of course, the fall picnic... And of course, there was the fall picnic, where we were able to demonstrate our culinary abilities and drink a few beers. Not to mention show off our athletic ability at horseshoes, volleyball, and even football. Every now and then, we would take a few moments to talk to one another, as we see Bert and Joyce doing here. Epidemiologists have always been known for their research and teaching. In 1975, Barbara Hulka received the Biostatistics Epidemiology Award. Epidemiologists have always been known for their research and teaching. In 1975, Barbara Hulka received the Biostatistics Epidemiology Award while sporting a fashionable checked polyester leisure suit. The McGavern Award was established to recognize excellence in teaching. The first award was made in 1975. What's that? All right. The McGavern Award was established to recognize excellence in teaching. The first award was made in 1975 to Dr. Roy Keebler of Biostatistics. Bert Kaplan is shown here with Dean Greenberg and Mrs. McGavern presenting the award to Dr. Keebler. Epidemiology faculty have received the Epidemiology faculty have received the McGavern Award in 7 of the past 17 years. Dr. Castle in 1976, David Kleinbaum in 1977, Bert Kaplan in 1982, Vic Schoenbach in 1989, and Al Tiroler in 1991. In 1993, Gerardo Heiss received the McGavern Award, and Carl Shai in 1994. The 1990s brought more changes to the school and to the department. A new School of Public Health building was finally completed. Energetic new faculty members joined the ranks of the department. Faculty like Irva Hertz-Pichotto, Trish Mormon and Beth Newman, Andy Olshan, Bob Milliken and Wayne Rosamond, Lorraine Alexander, and here, Lenore Kohlmeyer is exhibiting our very relaxed working atmosphere. And June Stevens, who has so much work to do that she has two computers at her side. Faculty from the Department of Parasitology were integrated into the Department of Epidemiology in the early 1990s. They are, clockwise from bottom left, Dick Seed, Ralph Barrick, J. Ed Hall, and Lola Stamm. Since the 1961-62 academic year, which had only six students, the number of epidemiology majors has grown by leaps and bounds. In 1992, Dr. Hoka decided to step aside as chair of the department. After a nationwide search, I'll back up. In 1992, Dr. Hoka decided to step aside as chair of the department. After a nationwide search, we found that what we were looking for was at our own front door. Dr. Carl Shai became the next chair of the department. Here, Dr. Shai is shown welcoming students at the orientation meeting in 1994. Under Carl, there was a renewed emphasis in the department on teaching, and small group discussions became the catchphrase. The department has had a long history of international work, beginning with a program in the mid-1960s to train Peace Corps volunteers for a tuberculosis control project in Malawi. Since the mid-1980s, faculty have taught many epidemiology courses abroad. Jim Thomas and Dana Loomis were invited by Dr. Hermann Brenner to teach summer courses in 1990 in the beautiful city of Ulm, Germany. The epidemiology staff, wanting a unified way to have a voice in the department, formed the Epidemiology Staff Forum in 1995. Today, most of the research staff are busy at work at the Nations Bank building. Vic Rhodes, the research staff of the Neuroblastoma Project, Dara Degnan, the cardiovascular disease group, including Phyllis, Wayne, Jim Panko, the newest addition to the epidemiology faculty, Marilyn Knowles, who works with the CVD group and a breast cancer project, Phyllis Johnson, Kay Patton, Christy Overman, and Sharon Pope, sporting Eric sweatshirts. Most of the faculty, the administrative and clerical staff, work in the McGavern-Greenberg building. Carol Morton, Dana Loomis, Ginny Reed, and Lisa McPherson. The department is continually changing. On August 15, 1996, Carl Shai literally passed the chair to his successor, Dr. David Savitz. As you can see, David is already sweating, The department is continually changing. On August 15, 1996, Carl Shai literally passed the chair to his successor, Dr. David Savitz. As you can see, David is already sweating, and it's only his first day on the job. Okay, so he moved a few boxes earlier in the morning. One of Dr. Savitz's first orders of business was to call for a celebration honoring his predecessor, Carl Shai, and two other distinguished senior faculty members, Bert Kaplan and Al Tiroler. The honorees shared some of their experiences in epidemiology and told us about their visions of the future. We enjoyed good food, great music provided by our talented faculty, Steve Wing, Barbara Hulka, and Rachel Royce, and time to relax and enjoy the company of family, friends, and colleagues, to reminisce about our past with old-timers, and share our history with newcomers. The Department of Epidemiology has a heritage enriched by keen intellects, scientific curiosity, creativity, hard work, and a caring about the public's health. Throughout the years, the faculty and staff have worked together to make our department one of the finest in the country. This is the legacy that we pass on to our students, the epidemiologists of tomorrow. They will carry on the traditions of the past and hold the promise of the future. Because of students and postdoctoral fellows alike, we look to the future with hope. Photographs were contributed by Ed Davis, Eileen Gregory, Al Tiroler, Marilyn Vine, Jean Warner, Suzanne Wolfe, the Department of Epidemiology Collection, the School of Public Health Collection, and the Lipids Research Center Collection.
In telling the early history of the Department of Epidemiology, I relied on stories in Dreaming of a Time, a history of the School of Public Health at the University of North Carolina by Robert Rogers Korstad, and on facts and figures presented in annual reports of the Department of Epidemiology. The history that has occurred since my tenure in the department is told primarily from memory, hazy as it is at times. The details are more reliable than those recalled from memory. Any inaccuracies in this account that are within my range of experience in the department can be attributed to the faulty recollection of the way things were. Phyllis Johnson and Marilyn Vine were both excellent informational resources and sources of encouragement during production. Their contributions are deeply appreciated.